Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you so much for joining us on this last day of November. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who over the last 30 days has been sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, today being the last day of the month, it ends this National Podcast Post-Month adventure that Sherry and I have been on together. And so we're going to try and recap an entire month of shows into one, but we're also going to give you all, our listeners, a little bit of additional nuggets so that way you can, you know, do your 2017 planning and start 2018 off in a fantastic way.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we've covered a lot of territory, and traditionally, if we were recapping at the end, you know, of the past week, we would talk more about the topics of the last week. But I thought it would be more valuable to you all, and probably a little bit more absorbable, to do some of this in story form. And I didn't really realize until Jennifer and I got well into this process that actually everything I've been talking about for the last 29 days has come from some very rigorous work at one point in time I did with the support and comforting assistance of Vicki Sullivan. Vicki Sullivan is a national speaker, and she's very well known on the speaking circuit. She's from Arizona, and she introduced me to the concept of beginning to flesh out what on earth you were standing on and standing for years ago that she called critical beliefs. And I had to unearth. I used to teach occasionally with Vicki. We taught a number of different courses. I had the coach audience, and she had the speaker audience, and those two very often would cross paths and intersect. So we taught some courses for the two different audiences virtually. So we had people from all over the English-speaking world doing this with us. And I've already mentioned to you during this past 29 days a couple of my crucial critical beliefs. One of those, if you've been listening in, and you also will hear it if you go back to that particular session, is I've never had a client need a stronger weakness. And I came into the business coaching industry about the same at the very beginning, and that was at about the same time that corporations were insistent on continuous improvement and always working to get remedial issues, you know, and people with remedial issues up to speed and buffed up. And at the same time, I never, ever had a client that would benefit. We would work on what was already working and deepen and expand that and build on strengths way before the Strength Finder stuff came in. Covey at one point was a small influence for me. I had a small meaning. I only had occasional encounters with Covey, but I liked his work. And he was the one who actually kind of ran tandem in a big way with working with positives. And then Marty Seligman came in and transformed the American Psychological Association in the mid-90s into beginning to work with opportunities instead of just pathologies as a therapist. And a lot of you may not know, I come out of strategic systems family therapy. So I was working with systems a long time, and technology is based on systems, which I think is one of the reasons you and I, Jennifer, kind of click. So I'm going to go into a little story about my particular 10 critical beliefs, because they underpin a lot of the other things you can listen back to all the past month. And maybe this will make sense to you a little bit more about how this has been a journey for me and where it has taken me and how that stuff you'll hear about. And we also have quite a few handouts how they came to be. So, Jennifer, what do you think these days of critical beliefs?
I think critical beliefs in the business setting, so let's keep it in the business setting, are those things that are your foundation, that they can't shake you, that when things go awry, when opportunities come up, that these are the core foundational beliefs of your business, that nothing shifts it. I want to say these are like those pillars, right, that hold up, you know, big buildings. If you think about the pillars of, you know, some of those Greek buildings, you know, they're still holding things up today, and they were built well and built strong and built to last. And so I kind of feel like those critical beliefs are like those ancient Greek pillars, columns.
I think that's a really great metaphor and set of analogies, and I agree with you 100%. So the reason I worked from a strength-based, approach and belief system, and it later became a whole body of literature, was because I just always knew, kind of focusing on the positive had worked for me, and I tended to draw clients that were working with opportunities more so than they were with major problems too, and I was fortunate in that way, and I positioned my business to do that, and I had plenty of colleagues I could refer the remedial issues too, and they were thrilled to get them, and they had no idea why I was referring them. They just didn't fit how I wanted to do business, nor where my energy at the time was then and still is. So another critical belief of mine, and you've heard me talk a little bit about this in the early broadcast, more is never enough. And what happens if your objective is more, you don't have a metric, you don't have a measurement, and you're always a little bit unsatisfied because you're always on the prowl for whatever there's more of. And so there's no real deep satisfaction in that. And so that framed a lot of my thinking in turn, that worked very well in sync with the fact that I wanted to create a strength-based kind of an attitude and mindset, as well as a business frame. Now, this one is about deep change. And you remember that I was a family therapist for a long time, and I had a clinic and I had a team, and it was what started my love for teams, and so I have an envy in a way, Jennifer, for you and your team, because while I have a tribe and I have colleagues and I have a great professional circle, I have stayed solo this career, but with contractors that I bring in, you know, for projects and things, but no one is with me all the time, and I miss that in the business setting, and I don't recommend it if you can develop an in-house team. In this particular instance, I wanted to travel a little differently this time because I'd already done the other several times. But this critical belief has continued to be true for me. All deep change happens in a heartbeat. And I watched families in terrible situations make a decision to make changes. And before they even got out the door of a therapy session, they were already standing differently, walking differently, looking at each other differently. Their shoulders were back. Their backs were straight. Their eyes were bright. And they, again, had hope in the future and a view of some options that they did not have when the therapy began. And it made me really aware, and these sometimes even included really deeply depressed people and situations. And once they could see the daylight and they realized they had allies and they realized that people would work with them and that they would get responses right away, and they'd come back session to session. And I brought that kind of an experience in with me to my business, my own new business when I started this one. And I have continued to believe that all deep change happens in a heartbeat. So when you're up against something, stay true to your true north once you have identified that, because the change is already ongoing inside you, and now there's lots of science and neurological explanations for why that is. We actually start regenerating five times the rapidity. The neural pathways for problem solving and for creating adventure out of adversarial situations as soon as we see a path to do that. So that has remained really influential for me. You've also heard us talk a little bit about feather training versus the brickbat approach. And there was a time I had a client in a sealed, beautiful, high-rise New York City office who was getting out of a marriage that wasn't working but had a 4-year-old that he had inherited a prime custody of, and he had bought with savings over time 2 limousines, but he had kept his corporate job and leased out the 2 limousines. But what he really wanted to do was re-outfit one of those limousines into a little playroom in the back of it for his 4-year-old, and he actually wanted to take his 4-year-old, because his kind of chauffeur service was based on picking people up at the airport for major meetings, and they'd maybe be going to the UN building, and they'd be there all day long, and he didn't have to do anything except stay available in case they needed him to go get anything for the meeting during the day or to pick them up to take them back to the airport at night. And so he was going to be in this particular limousine literally all day for most of his gigs. But he could only do that on his days off, and he had to sublease it. And so he had hired me to try to help him get out of the corporate life into the limousine business of his own full-time driving and spending more and more time with his little boy, because he was going to be the solo dad. And he called me at dawn one day, forgetting that he was East Coast and I was Central Coast, and woke me up with great joy to tell me, because I had told him the story about feather training versus brickbat and what lessons life is trying to teach us all the time with the messages, and problem solvers get the worst problems because they attract them because they're so good with them. And he called me thrilled to death that he had found a bluebird feather on his desk in a sealed high-rise office, because he opened the office at 6 o'clock in the morning in order to get off like at 1 and 2 in the afternoon so he could go get his little boy. And he had taken that as a sign, because he had already written his resignation letter. He was afraid to turn it in because he knew he would be walked out the door that minute or that hour. And he was telling me, I've already sealed it. I've put it on my boss's desk. I'm ready to go. I've packed everything. I brought the limousine today. I've loaded it all up. I'm going to be picking my little boy up at 1 o'clock. And I just wanted to tell you that I got the message. And the message was to listen to life's lessons as it nudges us toward what works for us, and quit having to have brickbat training the hard way through pain and suffering and falling in the same ditches over and over and over problematically. So one of my beliefs has continued to be that feather training that we learn just with the whisper on the wind and the nudge of 3 coincidences in a row, for example, that the universe really is speaking to us, and we just need to tune in and listen up. So that is now we're through 4 of those critical beliefs, and I think this one may make sense to you. And I'm going to reference C.J. Hayden. Is a great marketing coach. She's also a really good coach for getting hired again if you have lost a job or seeking a job. And she asked Cynthia Lloyd-Dar and I, Darst, D-A-R-S-T, she's a great coach and a business coach in California, but she works worldwide. She asked us to write an article around something that Cynthia and I had a conversation about that kind of brought the house down in a training we were doing together. And here's what it was. Cynthia had discovered hope, H-O-P-E, makes suckers of us all. So choose your opportunities you can optimize rather than the Einstein kind of thing of doing the same thing over and over, expecting just doing more of it to produce a new outcome. And she asked us to write an article for her first major book, which is still out there. It's called Get Clients Now, and it's written for consultants and coaches and freelancers. And I still advocate buying it, though it's a classic in its time, and it's still being published. And Cynthia she's a professional actress by background, so she's very confident speaking and being on a stage. And she was going and speaking and speaking and speaking and not getting any coaching clients. And she decided that she just liked the stage maybe more than she liked the business. And she better get off the stage and get busy with actually building depth into her business. And we were writing an article for on that kind of theme for CJ at the time. And that's true. Hope can make suckers of us all if we keep doing what we like doing more than what we need to be doing. And I know, Jennifer, you found out if you tend to the technicals take care of you. But at some point, you got to do a deep dive into all of that.
You really do, because the technical is only going to take you so far. And it's kind of like that people, and this is a saying that people say, you know, there's some people sell the sizzle and not the steak. And you have to be both. You have to have the sizzle and the steak. And you can't just be one or the other. Well, you could be the steak, but then it's hard to attract the kinds of people that you want to work with. So I think you've got to be the full package. You know, going back to what you were talking about earlier about facing challenges, as I've grown in my business, and my life as a human being on this planet Earth that's rotating around the sun, what I've discovered is that when I start facing challenges, whether they're business challenges or personal challenges, I actually kind of have started to get to the point where I get excited, because I recognize that as opportunity or something great or something big is around the corner, and these challenges are meant to offset me and take me off my path, because the universe kind of works that way sometimes. Not all the time, but typically it does. It's either that, or sometimes if it's not that, I will question whether it's something I need to reevaluate. But I'm actually have discovered that it's leaning more towards that there's something great around the corner. So I learned to identify challenge. So for me, challenge equals something great around the corner. And that actually helps me push through those challenges even quicker.
Yeah, this is true. And I happen to think you're really, really expert with reframing. And like a reframe would be an example of a really cogent and relevant reframe, you actually just gave us something comes up that appears to be to someone else an obstacle. You convert it into a challenge that has kind of a bridge to an opportunity. But it's your mindset and your belief system that partly helps you bridge beyond the problem, because you see there's a potential rainbow over there, and you've got your eye on that. And that does some neurological stuff that works, you know, to your advantage too. So this is kind of related. One of the things I learned early on, just like you learn to take challenges and convert them into opportunities, is what I call the preparedness test, the test about being prepared. The more required, the less it is probably yours to be doing anyway. And that grows straight out of my commitment to that talented people, talented clients really almost never need a stronger weakness to begin with. And if we need a huge amount of preparation to be doing whatever we're doing next, we might not have yet done enough discovery and refinement of it to be bringing it forward and to be taking it public. So when I get worried about how much preparing I'm doing where I feel like I'm spinning wheels, I have to ask myself again. Another one of my foundational critical beliefs is this really mine to do? That is a hard question to ask, especially when it's something you want to do or have said you wanted to do. But we have to ask that over and over. What really truly is ours to do versus delegate or versus refer? And once I got really, really good with discerning what was mine to do, so much of my, I mean, it really relieved anxiety. It relieved that feeling that, you know, enough was never going to be reached. And it really made me happier in all with, and it broadened also what I had to offer clients, because I wasn't trying to do everything. I was trying to do more what I came to do and what I am ready to do and what I've worked hard to get prepared to do. And people tended to have an appreciation for that. So it wasn't, it also helped with marketing, because it made it more clear to people what they could come to me for. And one of the other things I love that they come to me for is, I know you may not know this or you may not do this, but who do you know who may be able to? And I like, one of my favorite things on the planet is being a connecting bridge for other talent. And I really enjoy that. And you referenced that earlier today, Jennifer, too. So that's when I discovered that once my cover was blown, that I wasn't the best, you know, the best person for anything, for everybody. Once that cover was blown, I really flew very free from it. It energized me. It relieved me. It did not make me feel I needed to be expert in as many different areas or arenas. And it led to another critical belief. And this one is kind of funny, but it's really sadly true. Temporary solutions turned permanent create big messes. And I have found over and over and over, and I want to know about you, Jennifer, when has a short-term temporary solution that you did not replace or did not actually, you know, perfect to a real solution, do you have an experience of that eventually becoming a big mess?
It does. I kind of think of it as being like a Band-Aid on a wound that really needed some stitches or staples or something more permanent to keep it together.
Right.
You know, sure, you can cover it up with a Band-Aid, but that's not the real solution. And it may work temporarily, but you're going to wind up creating more chaos for yourself if you don't address it, you know, in the right way, in the right form, something that's more long-term, something that actually has a system. And I think systems are really the key to some of those challenges, because when they hit you, then you know, oh, this goes here, this goes there. And I kind of like having this, you know, workflow chart where I know that when things come, that this is where it should go and this is how I should respond. And even just having that analytical thinking kind of takes that emotional aspect of chaos or emergencies or unexpected challenges out of the framework, so that you're not reacting emotionally and you can make better business decisions and also kind of lead a more calm, easier, measured life.
Yeah, that's right. You have just voiced something that both you and I have learned a lot about, and that is exactly to know your boundaries, to know your limits, to you know, stay where you belong, and then outreach gradually and explore and always be on the adventure for something. But it's really important to know, to understand, you know, your turf, and to get really comfortable with being on it, and then to draw back when you need to, because there is reflection time. So that's been something that I've really, really followed. I want to also talk about power and authority. For those of you who want more choice and want more freedom and want more flexibility, the one sure way to get it is to give away more power and authority. And once we do that, and if we if there's a solution needed and our team is working on it, for example, when I've gotten the best results, and Jennifer, I bet you can back this up, is when I can define what the desired outcome actually is, and then turn it over to and where we're heading and what we need to take back. But then turn it over to the right person or persons of choice who have the talent, but leave it up to them as to how. they do the work and what they bring back to us, and just make sure then we check in with them periodically to see if they need any support. But mostly we leave them free, because that lets them innovate, that lets them discover, that lets them be part of the adventure and really, really take full ownership also for the outcome. So I found, if you want more choice and you want more flexibility, give away power and authority. And that also will bring you a great deal of peace.
You know, most folks, when they hear the word give away in business, that seems so counterintuitive. It just seems like, what? Give things away? No, I want to control everything. But that really is this part of the secret sauce, is actually giving things away that are not yours to have, because that frees you up to live in that wonderful space where you were meant to be.
That's true. Yep. Well, I've got one more, and then I can close for the day, and I'm happy to do any other kind of wrap-up you want, but I really appreciate the people that have been along with us, and so I wanted to kind of give them a new thing to think about at the end. Another thing I have discovered, and this is a critical belief, too much talent begets too many options on too many burners. Brilliance stores well. And this also can be from the spiritual perspective. A lot of people may have heard of the hound of heaven, what keeps hounding after you until you do it. Brilliance is like that. It wants to be released. It wants to shine. It wants to fly free. It wants to be allowed to expand and blossom and produce. And if we keep wanting to do something and something's holding us back, focus, focus, focus. Find a tribe a tribe, maybe one other person actually, or one other company, and to collaborate with and to align with, and to see if you can't free up some of your brilliance to innovate and to get into creative endeavors that give you a lot of gratification. And focus is a major avenue to that. And Jennifer, I want to come back again with you and talk about forming collaborations and alliances formally for profit sharing. I think that's a topic we could do some more in-depth work on with a group and do it well. And I also want to involve some media in that too. So thank you for the journey. I've thoroughly enjoyed the ride with you.
I am so grateful that when I asked you if you would do this with me, that you said yes. And it's been a phenomenal journey. I have been gleaning so much knowledge from you, and I know our listeners have as well. And it's an exciting time. And I want folks to know that even though the 30 days is over today, that they can go to your website. They can get connected to you on social. If they happen to live in the Austin area, you're extremely active in that space. How can folks stay connected to you overall? What would be your recommendation that they reach out and get connected?
Okay. Well, I'm on Facebook every single day, and I am Sherry Lowry there. And just if you want to connect and you have a chance to reference or send me a message, just reach out to Sherry Lowry, SHERRY LOWRY. Tell me you've listened to one of these, or you know Jennifer, and we can connect. Now, on LinkedIn, that is the same. I do know personally, that can include virtually, everybody I'm connected to on LinkedIn, and I'd like to know a little bit more context. So I'm really willing to exchange on LinkedIn too, and I connect on LinkedIn with a little more time, a little more exploration into who you are, what you do, if there is a way I can be a bridge for you, and so people who expect me to know that will not be disappointed. And I'm on Twitter, of course, and there I'm also at Sherry Lowry. It's all lowercase, SHERRY LOWRY. And I'll be getting more about this on my website, because I have lots of people who want to start finding out about your services too, Jennifer. So be free to post anything you want about us and our past stuff as well as our upcoming stuff, anywhere you want to on your territory.
Absolutely. Yeah, folks, stay tuned. There's probably future Sherry and Jennifer stuff coming in the pipeline in 2018. We'll keep you informed and let you know when things come to fruition. Thank you, Sherry, for a phenomenal month. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me, and I know that our listeners, like me, gleaned so much wonderful information. And that wraps up our 30th show today.
Thank you.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.